Let's pray as we stand. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. Thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Shine your light again into our hearts and minds now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Are you envious because I am generous? Asks the owner of the vineyard. The Greek word for generous, agathos, from which we get the name Agatha, is the same word that we find in our list of the fruit of the Spirit that we are thinking about at the moment. Kindness and goodness, or kindness and generosity, agathos. In Jesus' parable, the landowner, of course, represents God. God is a generous God. He creates a world that is stuffed, suffused with his creativity, with his beauty. It's not a meager utilitarian world where there is exactly one living organism for each necessary function. No, there is exuberance wherever we look. We can see that at this time of the year so well. We can hear it when we wake up a bit too early by the dawn chorus. This world is suffused with God's generosity. Even in the deepest, darkest oceans, as the recent program, the Living Blue Planet program, has showed us again in such beautiful ways. And God makes human beings to be in a relationship with him, to enjoy his world, to look after it. Everything is theirs except for one tree. But tragically, they home in exactly on that one tree. They want the one thing that they cannot have. Are you envious? Because I'm generous. The landowner wants each of the people he hires to lead a productive life, to have a sense of achievement at the end of the day. He goes out personally to the marketplace to hire them, to find them, although he could have sent a lowly servant. And he wants them to know his goodness and generosity at the end of the day. Our translation of the Bible says he offers them the usual daily wage. That's an interpretation. When you look at the original text, as actually says, he offers them a denarius, which of course was a Roman coin of a substantial value. The one denarius he pays for them is, as far as I can trust the experts, not just the usual daily wage. It's a generous wage, more than the minimum wage. So those who worked a full day should have been very happy with their take-home pay at the end of the day. So why are they suddenly complaining? Well, of course, we know why they are complaining. Because in their eyes, someone else got more. Or to put it differently, they had to work less for the same money. It's not fair. Are you envious? Because I'm generous. Theologian Paula Gooder remembers a moment in the young life of her daughter. She was very keen as a mother to teach her daughter please and thank you when she was little. And so when her daughter asked her for a crisp, mum withheld it. What do we say? Her daughter, please. So far, so good. The daughter took the crisp. Mum says, what do we say now? Quick as a shot, the girl answers, more. God is a generous God, and Jesus shows us perfectly what God is like. At the wedding at Cana, Jesus averts a drinks crisis by producing 120 gallons of wine. Oh my word, far more than they could ever have drunk. And the only response to this generous God is to be generous in response, in return. And so generosity is a fruit of the Spirit as we become more like Jesus. Sadly, many of us will have grown up with a scarcity mindset. It's never enough. Never enough time. Never enough money. We want what we cannot have. We compare ourselves with others, and most of the time with those who have more, not those who have less than us. In a very recent survey, more than half of 18 to 24 year olds think richer people are happier, 56%. And I find it really interesting that for the over 55s, that figure drops to 32%. Only 32% of the over 55 still think that being richer makes you happier. The picture changes even more dramatically when we compare ourselves with the global population. You may have heard about a website called globalrichlist.net. Globalrichlist.net, it's just got a little input window there, and you can put your annual net income in there. And when I did that, I found out that I am among the 1% of richest people in the world. Surprising. I also found out that 1 hour of my salary could pay for a trained midwife to deliver 2 babies safely. 2 lives saved or changed with 1 hour of my salary. Kindness and generosity, they don't come naturally to us. That's why we need God's Holy Spirit to release them in us. Because most of us, if we're honest, operate on the merit principle. That's what bugs people in Jesus's parable. Those who've worked only for 1 hour do not deserve a day's pay. But everyone receives a denarius. And of course, the point of Jesus' story is plain. Jesus himself is this generous God who gives himself freely to us, no matter how much we are able to bring. The cross is the ultimate expression of the goodness and generosity of God. Jesus' death and resurrection, they make friendship with God, eternal life in his presence, available to us as a gift, not as the coveted top prize in our platinum loyalty card scheme. Jesus says to the thief on the cross at his moment of death, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." It's not fair, God. I've been a good Christian all my life. It's not that we're doing God so that doing good so that God would love us. We're not doing good so that God would love us in return. No, it's the other way around. Because God generally loves us so generously, all of us, we are generous in return. That's what Paul writes to Titus in our first reading. Once we were far away from God, but when his kindness appeared in Jesus, he saved us out of mercy, gave us new life, his Holy Spirit. And now as a result, we can devote ourselves to showing God's goodness. The only appropriate response to God's generosity in Jesus is to commit our whole life to him, to hold nothing back. We are now well into the wedding season, and the words that a man and a woman say to one another are just beautiful, because they're about holding nothing back. All I am is yours. All I have is yours. That's the appropriate response to this other person who loves us and wants to commit to loving us for the rest of our lives. Why would we give anything less to God who has showed us his love in Jesus? And when we do this, when we commit our whole lives to him, we're not going to be poorer, but richer for it. Here is what one of the biblical commentaries writes. All human merit shrivels before his burning, self-giving love. All human merit shrivels before God's burning, self-giving love. Grace, amazing grace, is the essence of this parable. All are equally undeserving of so large a sum. All are given it by the generosity of the employer, God himself. Jesus tells this story for the Pharisees, who are so pleased with themselves and look down on the common people. Jesus tells this story to the disciples, who've given up everything to follow Jesus. And it would have been easy for them to be sniffy about those who started following Jesus only after Pentecost, when this new Christian movement gained momentum. Jesus tells this story for the future members of Matthew's church. They had been the pillars of the church, slaved away in it. And now there were all these new believers crowding in and wanting to make changes. They did not know their place. Scarcity or merit are not kingdom principles. Generosity is. Are you envious because I am generous? Jesus is saying that generous people don't always worry about what is strictly fair, but rather like to err on the side of generosity and kindness. Very few people will be changed from scarcity to generosity in an instant. I know it of myself. I feel like I'm making progress, and then I have a setback. Then I ask God again to give me that spiritual gift of generosity. It's a process of transformation. When we are challenged to be generous, our heart is the true thermometer to show how much this process of transformation has already changed us. You're being given an unexpected gift, maybe an unexpected financial gift, maybe a bonus. And there's a little voice in your mind saying, God has been so good to me. I really should give 10% to the ministry of our church. And then you think, but there are so many things I could buy from these 10%. Your heart is the thermometer showing you the state of generosity. But our heart is also a thermostat. We all know the thermostat in our homes. Yesterday we had a drinks party at our home and it was cold in our home. So we decided to click up the thermostat a bit. And wonderfully, the heating comes on and the house is warmed up. We can actually cooperate with God's Spirit by deliberately being generous. And here are a few ideas to get us started. Firstly, be generous by giving thanks. Be generous by giving thanks. Thanking God for his many gifts is a potent antidote to scarcity. 12th century mystic Meister Eckhart said this: if we only ever prayed one prayer, thank you would be enough. Be generous in giving thanks. Secondly, be generous in your prayers for others. In prayer, we can become part of God's generosity to other people. Thy Kingdom Come evening prayer is one of those opportunities to do this together this week. Thirdly, be a generous listener. Give your time, give your full attention, placing the other person into the light of God's love. Fourthly, be generous to other people, especially to those who are not like us. Children, newcomers and visitors to our church. if they get a sense that they are disturbing our lovely order, why would they want to come back? And finally, be generous with your money. So many people have found that when they start giving regularly to the work of God, through their church, through other organizations, they still have enough. Start small and see how God is faithful. Being generous with our money is a key way to break the tyranny of more. All these things help us dial up the thermostat of generosity, and we'll see the fruit of kindness and generosity grow in our lives. We may not have the generosity of the North Korean Christian lady who spoke at Spring Harvest this year. She was longing to share God's love with the other prison inmates in the labor camp. And she felt God was saying to her, share the little food you have with the other women. And that's what she did. And that generosity was the beginning of a small church right there in the prison camp. But whatever we do, may we experience that our generous God can never be outgiven. May we experience this especially when we're going through hard times. May we lean on this God of mercy and generosity. Lord Jesus, help us to lean hard on your grace and mercy, your generosity. And then make us generous in giving ourselves away for your glory. Amen.